Rex on the next generation of KGO. 810.
No, good. That'll make this part easier. Trump gave his own nod to Cinco de Mayo today on Twitter, saying, "Happy Cinco de Mayo. The best taco bowls are made in Trump Tower Grill. I love Hispanics." Okay, Hispanics, the outreach has begun. And he's reaching as far as the Trump Tower Grill. Of course, not all Hispanics love Donald Trump. Today, boxing legend Oscar De La Hoya claimed that Donald Trump is a cheater on the golf course. After 9 holes, he leaves the golf course for a younger one. It's true. I don't know if I could ever play golf with Donald Trump, because I'd keep trying to putt my ball into his mouth to get a free game. Of course.
And that may work. And then Samuel L. Jackson accused him of the same thing. Said we played golf together.
Cheating on the golf course?
Right. Well, not only that, Trump denied ever playing golf with him. And he did. Yeah, right. It must have something to do with all of that hairspray through the decades.
You know, you're not allowed to use hairspray anymore because it affects the ozone. You know that, right? I said, you mean to tell me, because, you know, hairspray is not like it used to be. It used to be real good.
What is this?
No, in the old days, you put the hairspray on, it was good. Today, you put the hairspray on, it's good for 12 minutes, right? But, you know, they say that you can't. I said, wait a minute. So if I take hairspray, and if I spray it in my apartment, which is all sealed, and you're telling me that affects the ozone layer? Yes. I say, no way, folks, no way.
The ozone layer in your head.
I don't know. I think if I was
in
to
his
go...
his palace.
If I was to go, like, on the golf course with Donald Trump, I think he would just, like, want to build, like, beachfront property for every sand trap. I see him developing it.
Well, he owns enough of them, that's for damn sure. All right, we're going to move on because I want to talk about a high schooler who is facing serious charges for exposing his junk in the high school yearbook, which to me is kind of funny. But it's a serious thing now, and he could be charged as a sex offender. And here we go again with political, I don't know, maybe it's not PC, just where the law goes too far. Sometimes 19-year-old Hunter Osborne is a senior at Red Mountain High School in Mesa, and he's also on the football team. And one of his friends dared him to pull out his junk during the team photo, and he did. Well, no one noticed. So the photo made it into the football game programs, I guess all year, because this was last year. They just caught up with it. The school finally figured out last week, and they didn't look at it as a prank. They looked at it as a criminal offense. They actually called the cops, and Hunter was arrested this past Saturday, now facing 69 counts, I love this, of indecent exposure because there were 69 other people in the team photo. He also got one count of furnishing harmful items to minors. And
harmful items to minors?
Right, yeah. And so this could be one of these things where, you know, you end up as a sexual offender and it's on your...
For the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life.
You're going to ruin a young man's life.
Right.
For a prank.
Yeah, and here...
There are no children there.
Here are... Well, they're football players. I mean, you know, they're students. So here are students and a neighbor talking about the guy who was charged with indecent exposure with the team photo prank.
When people told me about it, I thought it was like a big thing, but like when I looked at it, I was kind of like, you can't really tell. It's kind of hard to see.
At first, it was kind of like a joke, but then once we found out the consequences he has to face for this, we all feel really bad for him, and we don't think it's very fair.
To me, it's a prank that really just went wrong, and if they're going to persecute him, they need to pull in the administration of the school. They need to pull in maybe the kid that did the prank?
Yeah, because as I mentioned, they didn't catch it for a year. 808-0810.
Poor kid, they didn't catch it for a year.
Yes. And 69 counts? Come on!
Really?
69 counts and one count of furnishing harmful items to minors.
Maybe I think like something like doing some public service or, you know, repainting the side of the gym or something that helps the gym and the school. It's an apology, but don't be taking this to the courts. It was a prank.
And especially the sexual offender thing.
Yeah, that'll ruin your life.
Right.
Where you can live, if you can get a job.
Can he go to college?
Yep.
All of those things. Or do you think, hey, wise ass, you deserve it. 808-0810. Outside the Bay Area, as the sun goes down, as we Drexcast live across the western United States. 415 is the area code, 808-0810. It's not the only thing that's going on. I mean, boy, we're on a roll here with ding-dongs. 15-year-old, there's a zip line near the Strip in Las Vegas called Slotzilla. It's 117
feet. It's called what?
Slotzilla.
Oh, slot. S-L-O-T-Zilla. Okay.
No, not slut.
That's what it sounded like. just want to make sure.
The sun is going down. They will be out on the streets shortly.
That's their right time the of night.
Yes, just at the top of the hill. We know where they're at.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's called Slotzilla. It's 117 feet high and almost a third of a mile long. Anyway, a bunch of people were walking under it, I guess yesterday or the day before. It's in the Fremont Street Experience, if you've been there. That's kind of the old downtown portion.
Oh, is that the part that has the covered part with the video lights? It's like a open air outside thing. Okay.
Yep. But it turned out it was actually a 15-year-old kid on a zip line peeing on them as they went by. Now he's in trouble. And then, you know who else? There's a news reporter in trouble. Everybody's in trouble over this.
What's the news reporter reporting on this?
Yes, the news reporter. There's a big viral anti-news reporter thing going on because, I'll just play it for you. Here we go. Let me see. Where was this? The news anchor in Houston did this. All right.
Well, no, it wasn't rain that fell down on people under a zip line in Las Vegas. It was urine.
Ooh.
A teen rider on the Slotzilla at the city's Fremont Street Experience, well, let himself go.
Yellow rain, yellow.
I can't take you today. Tourists below thought it was drinks or maybe beer at first, but then they realized it wasn't. It was urine. The teen's parents later apologized for the nasty stunt. No word yet on if that teen will face any charges, though.
Wrong Prince song.
I'd say, talk about backlash.
Whoops. It didn't land too soon.
Well, man, what are you doing?
I'm surprised that people don't absolutely vomit on that zip line on people down below. I mean, especially if they've had a couple of those big drinks in them and you go up on that and
The kid's 15.
I know, but right, I mean, pee, right. Okay. But I mean, it's a juvenile prank probably. Or, right. I mean, but think about it. To do that on command? Really? That's some discipline.
What are you talking about?
I think I'd be clenched so tight for dear life on that. I don't think I could let go on command.
Okay, 808-0810 is the number. So it's still unclear if it happened because he was scared or if he did it on purpose. But his parents had to apologize to a bunch of people who got peed on. And if it was a prank, he may face charges for it. So here we go again. You know, another teenager who could be charged, this time for peeing. Was he, you know, scared peeless, or was it a prank? And by the here's my thing. How are the authorities going to figure that out? I mean, if I'm the kid. Okay. All right. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with your calls. 808-0810. Outside the Bay, 415-808-0810. But of course I'm going to say I was scared peeless. And if I'm the parent, I'm going to tell my kid to say you were scared peeless.
Yeah.
And then tell him you're never coming to Vegas with us again. Until you're 21.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, let's not be silly.
Yeah.
And then you can pee your heart away.
If that's the worst thing that happens to you while you're
in the desert, it's going to evaporate.
I know, right? Yeah. And then you got to wonder, then there's the reporter in Houston who's singing Yellow Rain. He did that yesterday on the second, that was the 2-week anniversary of Prince's death. Jeez. All right, we'll be back. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10 with a look at traffic. Here's Lee Graham.
Well, no, it wasn't rain that fell down on people under a zip line in Las Vegas. It was urine.
Ooh.
A teen rider on the Slotzilla at the city's Fremont Street Experience, well, let himself go.
Yellow rain, yellow.
Oh, that's
I can't
so
take
bad.
You today. Tourists below thought it was drinks or maybe beer at first, but then they realized it wasn't. It was urine. The teen's parents later apologized for the nasty stunt. No word yet on if that teen will face any charges.
Dude, you're in a lot of trouble for singing Yellow Rain on the second week anniversary of Prince's death. That's what I'm saying. Let's start with number one. And we will go to, let me see here, it's Joe in San Jose. Good evening. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, good.
Hello. So I wanted to ask you, who makes the policies in this beautiful country here? Is it Congress? Is it the president? Who decides we're going to go to war? Who decides we're going to drop bombs on these people or support that people and support this cause or the other cause?
Where are you going? What does this have to do? What does that have to do with the teenager peeing on people in the zip line or the dude who pulled out his junk?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking about the previous sort of commercial. I'm sorry about the zip line peeing, but I was talking about the presidential candidate.
Okay.
Right. With the hairspray. With the hairspray. Yes. Donald Trump.
I'm not talking about. I had a little bit more important stuff on my mind than the zip line stuff.
Okay.
We are talking about.
What do you guys think? Who's deciding? No matter who's the president, who's deciding we're going to go to war with these people or those people?
Were we talking about that?
I don't think we were.
I don't think we were talking about that.
We were talking about presidential candidates. I think 5-10 minutes ago.
We were playing parodies from. Well, that wasn't a parody. It was him talking about hairspray.
Yeah,
and the ozone. And I think Fallon. And,
oh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Well, that's all right.
Save it for when we're talking about it.
Anyway.
Yes.
Could I ask the question anyway? Could I get an answer? Who's
running
this? Besides all this.
Well, the administration.
Who's running this?
Okay. All right. It's the administration. I'm going to go. Or I'm going to pee myself. All right?
Okay.
Thank you.
I was very heavy about peeing.
Who
are these people who make pee laws? Well, now we're getting back to North Carolina. See what I did there?
Nice. All right. Let's see. What else we have? So we're talking about, you know, these teenagers. Do they face charges? And then you get that that sexual thing. Offender offense on your rap sheet, and then you're pretty much toast when you're teenagers doing silly things like peeing on people on the pee line. I don't know. Or showing your junk in a high school football photo with 69 other people.
That they couldn't find for a year.
Yes.
Where's
it kept
Waldo?
Coming out. Where's
Wiener?
Let me see here. I think next we have Rich in San Jose.
Yeah, regarding the current story, I have a feeling the kid obviously was an American. I think he was a European.
We're just all over the road. See, the hangover from Cinco de Mayo has not ended.
Sixo de Mayo.
Sixto de Mayo. I'm going to have to break that out again. It's on its way. All right, and then let me see. We have, this is a good story. We go to Joe and Arinda. Joe, good evening.
You guys are great. Face to Mayo, by the way.
Hey, I'm an ignorant American.
And golden showers. But,
right. Oh, it's a lot of fun.
I was in the military a few years back, and we used to cruise around in helicopters. And we had a funnel in the back in case you had to relieve yourself. So we were flying over Berkeley, California, and the colonel stepped back and pulled out that funnel. And relieved himself, and he said, "This is a political statement."
I love it. I love it.
They really are golden bears at Cal.
Oh, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum.
Yes, they are. Oh, God bless you guys. You have a good night.
All right, thank you. This is why we love doing night radio. Yeah, you never know what you're going to get. And that's the best thing about it. I wanted to play you this other thing. We were talking a little bit. The guy wanted to talk a little bit about politics, so I'm going to play you something ridiculous. So let me see here. There's a woman in North Carolina, of all places, has to be there with the HB2, had a car accident. She needed her car towed. But the guy who showed up to do it saw that she was a Bernie Sanders supporter. He refused to tow her. Now, I saw this. So all she did is she had like a placard in her fence, you know, Bernie Sanders 2016. Mm-hmm. in her, the front yard of her.
Oh, this isn't even a fence. Bumper sticker on her car that needed to be towed.
I don't think so. Maybe she had one on her car. But anyway, here's what he refused to tow this woman.
I drive to Asheville, North Carolina. The lady had obviously had a little fender bender. And I noticed all the Bernie Sanders, you know, the big cardboard Bernie Sanders sign in her back window. Every business dealing in recent history that I've had with a socialist-minded person, I haven't got paid. I own the truck. The side of my truck says Shoopy. It doesn't say freebie, you know. And every time I've dealt with these people in recent history, I get burned with an E, not a U.
What the hell is going on in Carolina? What are they putting in the water?
Shoopy.
Shoopy, I guess. They ought to be putting that tequila that's left over from last night.
Wow. He says that he's not getting paid from these other people. I'm like, why is he turning down perfectly good work?
And by the way, how do you know that everybody that hasn't paid you is a socialist?
Mm-hmm. Because they're paying him with food stamps, maybe.
Right. Yeah. Or last night, like we were getting into with your EDD card, your disability or your unemployment card, your debit card. Oh, people. And then Casey and Kelly McWade talk about the tow truck driver who refused to help Casey.
I personally believe Mr. Shoopy wouldn't want someone to do this to him.
Or his daughter.
Or his daughter.
Trump's motto is make America great again. This kind of divisive behavior and hatefulness is not what's going to make America great again.
Jeez. Over a tow truck. Over a tow. I mean, when have you ever met a tow truck driver who doesn't want to tow something? All we have to do is look at our window and watch them. Circle.
There goes my car right
there
now.
There we go.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, circle, 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 circle. Yeah, we keep very close eyes. We see a lot of strange things. You know what I'm talking about. And then we do have an update on the high school who pulled out his junk. Yeah, so they did release him.
Well, it looks like they're going to try to forgive. Have been dropped because they say, where did it go?
Well, there was 70 counts or 69 counts. So 70, well, the one it was the felony for furnishing harmful items to minors, which would be his penis in the picture.
A harmful item.
Right.
They couldn't find it. It's a harmful item.
I guess.
It says, quote, all parties involved no longer desire prosecution.
So that means the 69 other individuals who were in the photo decided not to press charges, that it was not. Good for them. So can you imagine, now do the math in your head and just figure out can we please see the picture? Can I tweet it at Generation Directs?
Yeah, you know, I can try and get that up there.
Because I'm thinking a picture with 69 or 70 people in it, how could you see it anyway?
He's the only one with a, you know what, eating grin on his face. right there, dead giveaway. This is the guy.
All right. Okay.
I'm going to try and retweet that.
I know. You got to send it out because I want everybody to see it. When we come back, we're going to do, Janet Jackson brought this to fruition. And sure enough, it did go viral the other day when she announced she was having a baby at 50. And she is having it. I don't know whether she did in vitro or not. But that brought up a big conversation about when is a woman too old to have a baby? All right. And we've got some answers about that. We'll discuss coming up on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
She says your Facebook's scandalous. Those pics will embarrass us. Why you twerking at your age? Don't you know your aunt sees your page? She likes to dance at Zumba class because her caboose getting kind of fat. But last Thursday she had to pass because she was making lasagna dinner. She said you broke her trust, trust, trust. You're like what? She's gonna whip your butt. She was cleaning your room. You had a bag of pot. You're like it's not. Mom, you're wrong. And then she found your phone. She likes to watch Ellen, Donna. Talk about what she's selling, Donna. At dad, she's yelling, Donna. It's mom, baby. She likes to get her nails done, Donna. Skis on the green run, Donna. She wants a grandson, Donna. It's mom. Yeah, she gave birth to you. Your mom, baby girl.
You know, and she's the biggest thing... as they pulled mothers across the country. Yeah, The biggest thing that moms want on Mother's Day is to have the day off. They just want to chill. And that's just not going to happen if you're a mother.
No.
No. Kids and family just feel the need. It's just like one of those things you can't get around.
Yeah, and yeah. I remember my just like my poor mother. She's like, this is a big old scam, this Mother's Day stuff.
Well, it's a Hallmark holiday, well, yeah.
I mean, look, your kid's going to try and cook you breakfast. You're going to get syrup on the floor. You're going to get powdered sugar everywhere. And then you think they're going to do the dishes without breaking something? It's just a big ruse. It's a well-intended big ruse, but you're going to have to clean up after everyone because the household doesn't work without mom.
They'd like to go to the spa. They really would just like to chill out. The most powerful, they put out a list. Not sure who did this, but there is a list of the top 50 most powerful moms. So we'll start with number 10, Ivanka Trump. Oh, she could speak about this.
You know, you're not allowed to use hairspray anymore because it affects the ozone. You know that, right? I said, you mean to tell me, because, you know, hairspray's not like it used to be. It used to be real good. No, in the old days, you put the hairspray on, it was good. Today, you put the hairspray on, it's good for 12 minutes, right? But, you know, they say that you can't. I said, wait a minute. So if I take hairspray, and if I spray it in my apartment, which is all sealed and... You're telling me that affects the ozone layer? Yes. I say, no way, folks. No way.
There's your policy conversation in the White House, in the Oval Office. Hairspray. I'll bet it sucks. You've got to be kidding me.
Maybe he's just talking about, like, the remake of Hairspray the musical. The second one,
no,
not so good.
He's talking about Hairspray.
Maybe his hair is just...
What was the old one in the 60s and 70s?
Aquanet.
Yeah.
Still the best. Drag queens swear by it.
Right. Is it still available?
Oh, because yeah.
But it ruins the ozone, so they must have put it in a pump
bottle
still, now.
It's all propellant still. We were only concerned about the ozone for like a hot minute in mid-1980s when everything was like... You had to... I'm concerned, but I mean, companies, you know, they were specially packaging things where you had to pump the air into it, and then you could sort of have a sustained mist, but you had to hand prime it. Well, I don't see those anymore. Don't look at me like I'm a weirdo.
At real Donald Trump, you should tell him how to do this.
I'm not telling him anything. You think he listens? He's got two ears and one mouth, but you never know it. Just all mouth.
And an orange face. And he needs his Aquanet.
Talk about bad for the ozone. What is on his face?
Well, I don't know. We can't figure out what that is. You know what it looks like? It looks like Cheetos dust.
It does.
Yes, well, in the close-up. I hear he's talking to Megyn Kelly that he's going to go forward with that, so good for him. So Ivanka, I guess it was might have been the hairspray, the Aquanet. She was out of there, but she is one of the 10 most powerful moms. Victoria Beckham is number 9. Reese Witherspoon, number 8. Kerry Washington, number 7. Carrie Underwood, number 6. Melissa McCarthy, look at her up there at number 5, most powerful mom. Viola Davis is number 4. Number 3 is Kate Blanchett. Number 2 is Beyonce. And the most powerful working mother is Adele.
It's not the Queen of England? Come on.
Well, I guess she is technically still working.
She's the Queen of Mother.
Yeah, she's still working.
The Queen of Mother. She's the Queen of Mother. The royal country of Mama.
Hey, I wanted to tell you this is a great story. So for Cinco de Mayo, the whole thing with Donald Trump and trying to pander with the taco bowl that he was eating. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Best taco bowls are in the Trump Tower Grill. I love Hispanics. Anyway, if you look closely at that picture, and people did, see, this is what you have to be careful about. When you take a picture with your iPhone or like your Samsung or whatever, it takes such high-resolution pictures, people blow it up. Of course they do, to see what's going on in the background. Guess what was going on? Aside from the shameless pandering, there's something else really strange about and funny about the picture. If you look on Trump's desk under the taco bowl, you can see a magazine open to a bikini picture of his ex-wife, Marla Maples. It's a page from a recent People magazine that did a profile on Marla.
Talk about tasteless.
Right? Yes.
Good thing it wasn't a taco.
Well, I don't know if he ate. The taco bowl was edible, so
it wasn't.
I don't know if he ate the People magazine, or did he eat the People magazine too? Oh my God, Valerie! What? All going to hell.
Uh-huh.
You're naughty.
why am I in a handbasket? What's up?
Yes.
Where are we going?
Here's where we're going.
Mr. Patron, we are not amigos.
Nope.
It's Sesta Mayo. I have yet to go home.
This is what happens the day after, people. I'm sorry. No, we're
on
not.
On my head
it's
are my chones.
Patron and not
where
Jose
the
Cuervo.
Hell are my pantalones?
That's my man. Jose Cuervo, I'm
Mr.
down with him.
Mr. Patron, we are not amigos. I smell like I may have bathed in cerveza. Woke up face down in salsa on a barroom mesa. I swear last night I saw a burro and he tried to take a bite of my churro. Mr. Patron, we are not amigos. Senoritas with margaritas with Patron tequila will kill you in the end. I must own that I'm grown and should have known that me and Mr. Patron, we will never be friends.
No.
Someone on Insta posted photos from the fiesta. An hombre with a Sharpie drew a wiener on my cabeza. That salsa I woke up in was not salsa. And that burro was a waitress named Alma. Mr. Patron, we are not amigos. Mr. Patron, we are not amigos.
Now, so you're down with Jose Cuervo.
Yeah.
The gold.
I like me the Jose.
Well, yes, but does that have the best distilled blue agave?
No.
I mean,
I don't care. It just tastes really good with Jose Cuervo mix. I'm not trying to be any autentica or anything. I'm just an ignorant American. But it works for me.
Okay.
It works for me.
All right. Long
I mean,
as
you can try
you.
The Herdura. I do. But I that's what I like.
Let's talk about babies. And Janet Jackson has been a big thing this week as far as trending is concerned, announcing that she's going to have a child at the age of 50 and reportedly pregnant with her first child. And so this study comes from the British folks. And according to the new survey from the Private Pregnancy UK, whatever that is, the majority of the British women believe that it is unnatural to have babies over the age of, anybody want to guess? 44. Their main reasons were that it could increase the risk of health complications for the child and that it would be unfair to the child to have old parents who may not live long enough to see them grow up. And I think we all agree on that. 808-0810. So, you know, when we were talking about Janet Jackson the other day, I said, and this could be fine because she'll live this child, a he or a she, whatever, will live a very privileged life. But Lisa Durden went crazy, my yaktivist.
Yeah, she is a yaktivist.
Oh, yeah. She went nuts. She went ballistic. She said, Drex, you don't get it. You listen to me. She's being selfish because it's not about, yes, she'll live a very privileged life. Kids don't care. Kids want their mother. You know, you can't be the mother at 70 years old. You might not be here when I'm 20 to see my graduation from college.
Yeah. That's true.
Right.
I mean, but people are having children older. I mean, nobody's yelling at David Letterman that he had a kid when he was 70 what?
Oh, and then Tony Randall, right before he died, had a kid in his late 70s, which
that
I thought,
surprises
I thought
me.
That was, I thought that was, well,
whoops,
yes, I know.
It surprises me in a few ways. But
I know, right. We're on the same page.
Very interesting.
We're rolling through the Castro.
We are on that one.
Yeah. All right. But in vitro findings, to put things in perspective, if used after the age of 35, as the chances of having a live birth with IVF cycle declines dramatically with age. For example, there is a 20% success rate at the age of 40, which just falls to 1% above the age of 45.
Yeah. That
1%.
Yeah. Drop-off is steep after, I think even after 35, then it gets steeper after 40.
So a woman's fertility potential declines rapidly after the age of 35 and drops even faster after the age of 40. So how she's pregnant at 50, I don't know, and it's none of my business, but, you know, I don't know what people think. Is that too old?
I don't think it's too old. I mean, we have technology these days, and if people are really minded to be a parent and be there for your child, your career.
But what about Lisa Durden's point where, you know, you might not be here in 15 years and the kid doesn't want your money?
You may not be here tomorrow. That's true. It's a valid argument. I just think that if it's the quality of the life that you do have with the parent.
415 is the area code. 808-0810 is the number. 80-8810 is the number to the Drex Radio Show. With a look at traffic, here's the man, Mr. Lee Graham.
KGO 810.
Mommy had a little baby. According to most women, according to the Medical Society in the UK, 44 is too old to have a baby. So, you know, we had several comments
biologically?
About that. Biologically, yes.
Okay, but morally?
Yes. Well, you can do it if it works. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you think you're done and you're not. I think one of my great aunts is the surprise baby.
Oh, okay. You know? Yeah, right.
Because you think, oh, well, happen. That's it, you know.
That's right.
And there you go.
All right. Let's talk about something else. I want to talk about Jamie Lee today opening up about her opiate addiction. Jamie Lee Curtis was shocked to learn that Prince was reportedly addicted to painkillers, specifically Percocet, it looks like. But it is something that she understands so well because she says she was once hooked on them herself. I too waited anxiously for a prescription to be filled for the opiate I was secretly addicted to, the actress, 57, wrote in an essay for HuffPo. I too took too many pills at once. I too sought to kill emotional and physical pain with the painkillers. Kill it, make it stop. According to the Scream Queen star, her struggle began after she was prescribed painkillers for a medical procedure. Fortunately for her, she's been clean for nearly two decades. She says, I am one of the lucky ones as I have recovered from my opiate addiction for over 17 years. And while the actress is glad that the government is finally joining the fight against opiate addiction, she wrote that she still mourns for those who it was too late. Just maybe the case with Prince. We'll see. I, like all of you, mourn the passing of the great artist, but I also mourn the passing of potential artists past, present, and caught in this deadly vice. So one of the things that I wanted to say about this, because it was probably a couple months ago, and I talk about this a lot, my own personal experience with trauma and pain and the oxycodone and the OxyContin and the Percocets that I was prescribed because I had a perforated duodenum, and I went into toxic shock, and they had to do exploratory surgery to save my life. And then 2 days later, they had to come back in, cut me back open, and put me back together again. That worked. And then 2 months later, I had this huge, massive incisional hernia. Okay, and so they had to go in again at the end of October. So it started at the beginning of August and then the end of October into the beginning of November with the incisional hernia. And I swear the incisional hernia thing was actually more painful. I don't know. But anyway, the whole time I was on both of these drugs together, OxyContin and Percocet, okay? And people would say to me, well, how does that feel? Well, it didn't feel like anything because it was doing what it needed to do. I mean, if I cut you from your sternum down to your, you know, your pubis, it's going to be extremely painful with 27 staples in you three times. And so it just did its job. But what happened the second time around after the hernia operation, they said, just use the OxyContin that you have left over, which I did because I came back to work for several weeks, okay? And I did stop taking it because that was the rule. You couldn't drive if you were still taking it, right? So I just stopped taking it and the whole thing was use Tylenol. So I did. So I have a point to all of this, and I'm going to get to it. So then when I had the incisional hernia, you know, once again, they gave me Percocet for the pain. But they didn't give me as much as I thought I needed because the pain was horrific. Okay, and it went on, and I ran out of the OxyContin halfway through. And then as I was progressing through the rest of the month, they were giving me just the Percocet. The OxyContin was gone.
Okay.
You know.
So they're weaning you off the opiate-based painkillers.
Right. But then I was just on the Percocet. And then I don't know if I hit, there was a specific time with these. I won't say the name of the facility because I'm sure the hospitals have rules. I have so many doctors and surgeons and all of that stuff now in the circle. But I was so mad when they cut me off, not because of the addiction, but because of the pain. And right. and they told me to totally go to Tylenol. Tylenol didn't do a damn thing. I was taking 10, 12 Tylenol a day.
Oh,
now,
man.
You tell me if that, I mean, if I'm doing, in my head, this was like crazy town thinking, this is bad because what is all of this Tylenol doing to my liver?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got other internal organs that are like, trying to heal, and you're dumping everything into your liver.
It was bad. It was bad. But I have to say now, in retrospect, after all that's happened with Prince and all of these opiate things, and I do feel better. So I guess my thinking is maybe they did me a favor and it was the right thing, because I don't know at what point you hear all these stories that it started with painkillers from a medical procedure and then it goes downhill from there. And, you know, if you know that if you have the ways and the means to continue to get these drugs, then people do, perhaps. I didn't. I have no desire for opiates whatsoever.
No. Well, I'm glad that I
tell you, Valerie, I got into a big thing on the air that because I was so mad, because I just thought, you know, there's probably a lot of people like me who suffer because people in suits in a boardroom sit and say, 90 days is it. That's our policy. I don't care whether their pain is a 10.
Right.
Yeah. You cut them off because of liability, and that's our policy. And I don't think that's the way that doctors really want things to happen. There's
I don't think that's necessarily pain management healing by, what do you call it? By a whole board of people. It's an individual patient.
I'm glad that you brought this up. So during this time when I was cut off, my blood pressure spiked through the roof. I mean, it was
because
bad.
The pain and your body's reaction to it.
And I went to see one of my other doctors, my primary physician. She's like, "Oh my God, this is insane! Your blood pressure is through the roof." She goes, "Well, it's because of the pain."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I said, "Well, yes," and they cut me off.
Right.
You know, but now that I look back, now that I'm over it and through it, in a way, I feel as though, when I hear people like Jamie Lee Curtis speak up about this and others, that maybe it was for the best.
Maybe you dodged another bullet.
Right. In retrospect, because I still wasn't desiring them, because even at the end, I didn't feel fuzzy or like I'm getting a higher buzz. It was just killing the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I felt like I suffered for several weeks, and I think I did, but I'm over it now. And
well,
now
at least you're in a situation where you were on the mend. The timing wasn't perfect in its synchronization for the management of pain and the healing process. But here you are today and not hooked, which
that's true.
That's
a blessing. That's what
but
I'm saying.
With
yeah.
people who did have like chronic or like ongoing issues for pain, managing it is not only is it difficult medically, but now the doctors are really hamstrung because they get on the list if they overprescribe. And there's a lot of people living in legitimate pain.
That I think should be medicated. So they just have to be monitored.
It's a hard call.
Pain management. Pain management is its own thing. I have a pain management doctor.
They're now specialists,
Now we're trying other things, you know, to help with nerve-ending pain, obviously, because of all of that, there's nerve-ending pain. So we're trying some other non-opiate things that seem to be working.
Good.
Yeah. But, so I just wanted to talk about that Jamie Lee Curtis. And I know that if you listen to the show, you've probably heard me rail on this subject before because it drove me insane. The first time I saw the 60 Minutes piece, and I just thought to myself, now, everybody who's in pain like I am is going to be cut off because of this piece that rolled on 60 Minutes.
Because nobody wants to wake up with 60 Minutes at your door.
That's right. That's right. And I felt bad for myself, although I was having a pity party, and I felt bad for other people. But maybe in retrospect, it was for the best. All right. We have a wonderful comedian, Kasim Bentley, on the way. So don't go away. We will begin the late night, late show wrap up coming up here on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810, San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland.